Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. It is the U.S. Grand Prix race week in Austin. I am so excited. I am leaving very shortly for the race, so there will be lots of content coming for you. I have so much planned. I'm so excited. And Austin, as I was saying in the last episode, one of the best races on the calendar and just one of my favorites. This is going to be my fourth time in Austin, which is kind of crazy to think about. The first race I ever went to was Austin back in 2021, where I sat in GA with some friends. And that's kind of where it all started for me, where I started to absolutely love this sport. And yeah, so to be back 4 years later, four years later, and working and doing really cool things and hopefully meeting many of you, it just all feels very full circle. And I cannot wait. So because we didn't have a race this weekend, there's no race to recap, but I'm going to be going through some of the news and headlines that have happened in the past week, discuss some of my thoughts there, and then dive into a little bit of a brief U.S. Grand Prix preview, talk about what to expect, some things on the track, that sort of thing. Okay, so first up, this is a rumor. It is not confirmed yet, but it is expected to be announced in Austin. And if you have listened to the podcast before, you know I've talked a lot about this. Apple is expected to secure the U.S. Formula One rights in a deal worth something that's like $140 million a year. The announcement is expected in Austin because this obviously is the U.S. broadcast rights. As a reminder, ESPN has had them for several years. They had a three-year renewal that is up at the end of this year, and the rumors are that they are not going to renew. Obviously, we're not in the room. We don't really know what's going on behind the scenes in terms of why that decision is being made, but I think a big piece of it is just how much money F1 is commanding. $140 million is a lot more, substantially more than ESPN is currently paying, and so maybe ESPN did not feel like the price was worth it. Right now, F1 averages about 1.4 million viewers per race across ESPN and ABC coverage, so that is quite a lot of people. It makes a lot of sense why Apple would want these rights. They've started to make a big play into live sports, particularly focused on the US. Apple owns the rights to the MLS, which is worth apparently about $2.5 billion, which seems absolutely insane, but I guess that's what it is. They also have the rights to MLB's Friday Night Baseball package. And so both of these things are very US targeted. It makes sense why Apple is also trying to get into the F1 game, especially as the sport continues to grow with Americans. I think some open questions, F1 TV and how an Apple package lives alongside F1 TV. Do they shut it down? Do they merge it in? I'm sure all of these things have been very much in discussion, but I think there's a big open question about whether F1 TV will continue to exist, and if it does, kind of in what capacity. And I know that's a big consideration for a lot of you, sort of super fans, myself included. I am an F1 TV loyalist, and so I don't know. I hate to think F1 TV might not potentially exist, at least in the same form that it currently does. But I have to imagine F1 will not want to anger its super fans. And I'm sure Apple will think about ways to kind of keep the sanctity of F1 TV. But that is a big open question. I talked about the US rights at the beginning of the season a lot. And sort of as headlines were coming out, I feel like I've brought it up a ton of times this season. My original guess was that F1 wasn't going to fully move to streaming in 2026. It felt a little soon. It feels like some of these streamers just don't have the proof points in being able to broadcast 24 races a year live. A really hard thing to do. And I honestly think F1's like biggest value add and biggest asset is its broadcast team. It's just an insane feat that they put on every weekend. The coordination, all of that. How that fits into a streaming platform, I feel like, is going to be an interesting experiment. So I have open questions on sort of the technical feasibility. Will it be good enough? If someone can figure it out, I do feel like Apple can probably do so. There, of course, is also the F1 movie connection. Apple was the producer and the distributor through Apple TV for F1 the movie. And so they really got their foot in the door through that. And I imagine this is sort of just like dovetailing nicely into actually owning the US broadcast rights. But this is big news if this is the case. And we'll wait to confirm it and ensure that this is true before we dive too much further into it. But yeah, let me know what you guys think. Keep an eye out this weekend because I do think an announcement is coming. And obviously a US race is a good place to announce the US broadcast deal. I will repost an Instagram post that I did at the beginning of the season, sort of weighing the pros and cons of streaming versus not streaming. You all had a lot of opinions on this, so I screenshotted a lot of your responses in that post, weighing the pros and cons. I will say, I think I would be excited if Apple did this right, and I really hope they do. I think to some degree, it's sort of inevitable that these large tech platforms and streaming sort of take over sports, and Apple betting on F1, I hope will bring more investment and growth and all of that in the sport, especially in the US with a new US team, all of that happening. I think I would be excited to see Apple throw their weight in this sport. That said, I understand the arguments against it, and it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. Next piece of news. So McLaren and Mercedes, their annual financial reports have both been released for the year, looking back on 2024, and it is really interesting to dig into. I've done a couple of reels on Instagram. If you haven't checked those out, I recommend that you go do so, because I do think it's a fascinating topic to look into and just sort of see under the hood of what it is like as a business for top teams, especially McLaren, a newly championship winning team. So maybe starting with McLaren, I think this is really interesting because they went from almost bankrupt to being valued at like $5 billion. It's an insane turnaround. And whoever you credit, I do think Zak Brown deserves a lot of credit for this, but whoever you credit, it's pretty incredible to see. I think McLaren as an organization also would agree with the fact that Zak Brown deserves a lot of credit, just given the fact that his salary from these documents we can see is $50 million, which makes him one of, if not the highest paid F1 employee outside of drivers, like top drivers like Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. But I think both the commercial turnaround Zak Brown did, as well as the performance turnaround, I mean, it was their first time winning the Constructors' Championship in over two decades. I think it was 26 years. Pretty incredible. Last year, McLaren doubled their operating profit from 2023. So now it's sitting at almost £60 million, which is pretty crazy. It's not as high as the Mercedes and the Ferraris of the world, but they are certainly inching up there. And I assume they will continue to grow and grow. They noted in their report that a lot of that growth is really due to increased commercial activity, especially from on-track results. So shocking. Sponsors like when teams perform well, and everybody loves a sort of Cinderella underdog story. So along with that increase in performance and results, money has continued to flow in. Mercedes had a similarly pretty incredible year of results. They had over $800 million in revenue, $160 million in profit. It makes them the first team in F1 history to do more than $150 million in net profit. And if you're interested in sort of the business behind F1 and digging a little deeper, Joe Pompliano has a Substack called Huddle Up, and he has dug into a lot of these results, and super interesting to read if you want to go a little bit deeper. But one thing that was interesting from Mercedes is Toto's salary. It's structured a little bit differently than Zak Brown's, which of course makes sense. Zak Brown is not the team principal. He's also not the owner of the team. Toto is the owner of the team. He owns a third of Mercedes F1 and is also the team principal and the CEO. So he's got a little bit of a different role. So it makes sense that their salaries are structured a bit differently. But what's interesting about Toto is that his salary, at least on paper, is $6 million. And I say that like, oh, only $6 million. But if you compare that to a $50 million salary for Zak Brown, that's a pretty big difference. And Toto's actually technically dropped, because in 2023, I believe it was $8 million. So that might be due to performance, or who knows exactly why, but there's no need to feel bad for Toto, because he did get an estimated $45 million dividend, which means, like Zak Brown, he took home about $50 million as well last year. Another thing that was interesting from these reports is that it showcased that Mercedes actually receives an outsized share of global TV coverage for F1. So if there are 10 teams, you'd expect each team to get approximately 10% of airtime. Mercedes has 15%, which means that it's got more than its quote-unquote fair share. But that resulted in almost $6 billion of advertising exposure for its brand partners. Sponsors also make up about 60% of their revenue. So that's a huge driver of their business, and really interesting to look into. But yeah, I'm super curious what you guys think of these results. If you have questions about them, I'm going to try to do a more visual breakdown of some of that data and dig into it. But super interesting and cool that we get to see public documents about these teams. One final headline before we dive into a US Grand Prix preview is Alex Palou's lawsuit. Now, Alex Palou, not an F1 driver, an IndyCar driver, and one of the most successful in the recent era. He's multiple champion, all of that. But essentially, McLaren is seeking over $20 million in lost profit following the fact that Alex Palou decided to quote unquote renege on his agreement to drive for McLaren's IndyCar team. So Alex Palou, Chip Ganassi champion, Chip Ganassi as an IndyCar team. He didn't want to drive for McLaren IndyCar, but I think probably thought that driving for McLaren IndyCar might be a road into F1 and that he wants to be an F1 driver, simple as that. And so he had signed a contract with McLaren IndyCar team based off of what he said was a quote-unquote promise from Zak Brown that he would have a potential F1 seat. Now, this was back in like 2023, which, as we all know, is the year that Oscar Piastri got signed to McLaren instead of going to Alpine. So apparently that's when Palou realized that he wouldn't be more than a reserve driver for McLaren. So then he decided to stay with his team, Chip Ganassi. So McLaren's argument hinges on the fact that he reneged on his contract and lost and caused them to lose $20 million in profit, which is kind of crazy. Because of that, Alex Palou has since come back and said that Zak made him think that there was an opportunity for the full-time seat as a negotiating tactic to get him to sign for McLaren's IndyCar team. Palou's attorneys have also accused Zak Brown of destroying evidence, like deleting WhatsApp messages related to the encounter. Zak Brown has literally been in court over the past week, like being grilled by Alex Palou's lawyers. And so this is very much an ongoing lawsuit and something that hasn't been in the press, at least in the F1 sphere, as much as I would have expected for something like this. But it's going to be really interesting to see how this develops, what precedent is potentially set with all of this. I don't know enough about Alex Palou's McLaren IndyCar contract to have an opinion on whether or not he was right about the fact that he was misled, but pretty crazy for McLaren also to be seeking $20 million in damages from him. So very curious for all of your thoughts, and we'll be keeping an eye on what happens there. Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might not be Ferrari's strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormone levels. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with their prebiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating, reduce sugar cravings, help you feel satisfied longer, boost energy, and help stabilize mood swings. Because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your hormone harmony results so you can feel like yourself again. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and hormone harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire order with code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today. All right, COTA, Circuit of the Americas. It is just outside Austin, Texas. It's hosted the US Grand Prix for the past over a decade. Iconic track, iconic race. It really just gives a lot. It's not a street circuit or a temporary track. It's a permanent racing facility that's more like the classic countryside tracks that we see in Europe. And it's actually the only permanent F1 track in the US. So very fun. Definitely the heart of the US racing, has the most history in the recent years. And it's cool because it is outside of the city. So it gives a little bit more of that like big complex rolling hills type vibe, as much as you have like rolling hills in Texas. I don't know. But at the same time, it also is so close to Austin, which is just such a vibrant host city, really distinct culture. The whole F1 traveling circus just absolutely seems to love this race. And I enjoy it every year. So, and it's not only the vibes, it's also the track. It has really good racing typically and good overtaking opportunities, as we have seen the past several years. And so that's a kind of differentiating factor from street circuits or semi-permanent racetracks. From a fan perspective, it also feels more inclusive to me than Miami and Vegas. Not that I don't like Miami and Vegas, but it's just a different vibe. It feels more welcoming. It is, relatively speaking, more affordable than the other US races. There's just so much general admission space. It's quite, again, very different from street circuits. So I always recommend to my friends who haven't been to F1 races, if they're in the US and they're close enough to Austin, like that is a great first race to go to because it's a pretty good on-ramp for people who are just learning about the sport and it's a great experience. But it also brings a lot of like serious racing fans who are there to watch the action. And so you kind of get like the best of both worlds. And there's so many events and pop-ups in the city and all of that. And again, the viewing opportunities are pretty good from general admission. Like I was there in GA in 2021, had an amazing time. I was right up at the fences. I still remember the first time I heard the sound of a Formula One car in GA at Austin, and it's really a special, special thing. One turn to look out for is turn one. It always has a lot of action. It's a big left-hander up a hill, so it's visible from a lot of places on the circuit. And yeah, COTA, just a really great team. They put a lot of work into making this an unreal weekend for a huge crowd, usually like close to 500,000 people. And again, like I said, the off-track entertainment is also just so fun and great food. And don't forget your cowboy boots if you're going and you have them. I will certainly be wearing mine, but make sure they're comfortable cowboy boots. A couple things to look out for. There are several pop-ups. Williams always has their fan zone, and I highly, highly recommend going. There are going to be, you know, appearances from Alex Albon, James Vowles. It's a really fun time in Austin. I will be spending some time there and hoping to see many of you there because I will be spending a lot of time with Williams and Atlassian this week. So lots to share on that. Other pop-ups, I think Enchanté is doing something, which I am repping my Enchanté sweatshirt today in solidarity for Daniel Ricciardo because he absolutely loves this race. And Lewis Hamilton is doing a +44 activation / pop-up as well. McLaren is doing something big on Thursday night, I believe. So definitely look into that. And generally just have a good time. I will try to do a meetup on Saturday. My schedule is still a little bit up in the air, but if you are going, I do really want to see many of you. And if you are listening to this podcast and you're not in the Discord, there are tons of people in the Discord who are going to this race and they're actually planning a Friday night meetup, which I'm also hoping I'm going to be able to go to. My schedule is a little bit crazy. I'm going to be in Austin on Wednesday because I have to be there for something, but then I have to come back to school Thursday, Friday for things that I cannot miss on campus, and then flying back to Austin Friday afternoon. So it's a little bit of a mess. We'll see what happens, but I'm going to try to be there if I possibly can. And with that, I cannot wait for this week. It's going to be a fun one. Stay tuned on socials. There's going to be a lot of fun activity and content and all the things, but I'll chat to you soon.